promenade across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, July 27th, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 8.
I am your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
Hi, Dale, and hello, Square Dance community. I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. We are really happy today to have a wonderful guest. He's a caller who's been referred to as the father and the grandfather of modern Western square dancing. To me, he is known as the king. It's Mr. Lee Kottman, and we also have his lovely wife, Her Royal Highness Lilith Kottman, on the line with us today.
We will certainly ask them about their titles and and what they think. So, Barb, what did you do this past weekend?
Square dancing galore, and in the heat of a very hot Chicago summer, it was quite a challenge. How about you, Dale?
This past weekend, I did absolutely nothing. That's not true. I never do nothing. Kathy and I got to just relax together, and I reorganized my basement. My daughter is using my basement as a storage facility for the next month while she is transitioning from one house to another. So I reorganized it, packing everything against the walls so there's actually room to move a little bit down there.
That's great. It sounds like it was fun and productive.
It was.
And hopefully you stayed cooler than we did.
We're very well air conditioned, and it's another 10 degrees cooler in the basement, so that's always nice. But my arms are sore.
And your electric bill will be too, I'm sure. Do you have anyone you'd like to say hello to today?
I do. My two beautiful daughters, Erin, who is moving out on her own and going full-time to college, and my younger daughter, Callie, who is about to start her college career. I love you both. Anything is possible. How about you, Barb? Who'd you like to say hi to?
I have a little shout-out to all our listeners, especially those who tuned in today to hear the interview with Lee and Lilith. I think it's great that you want to listen to their stories as we do.
So what is your experience with Lee and Lilith?
When I first heard the words Lee Kottman, I was warned that that would be some of the most enjoyable and hardest dancing of my life. I was a fairly new beginner at the challenge level or advanced level and had gone to the National Advanced and Challenge Convention, and all of those things came true. I loved listening to his voice and his delivery. He had fantastic music. He called really hard, and the floor was broken down a lot of the time, especially if I was in a square. No, it was always a goal of mine to get through a tip and feel good about my dancing if Lee was calling. And Lilith, I met many, many years later, but she is larger than life. How about you? When did you first meet them?
I think it was at a festival here in the Washington, D.C. area. And I walked in, he was calling, and things were rolling along fine. And suddenly he called a call, and the whole floor just froze. And he looked up, and he said, "What's wrong?" And they said, somebody said, "We've never heard that call before." And he said, "Well, you're all dancing to the wrong tapes."
Somebody called, by golly, and somebody else on my floor said, "By Kottman." And I thought, well, thank goodness they don't do that for everything he's called. I think he's authored over 350 different calls.
Well, we'll ask him about that. That'll certainly be one of our questions today. Let's go ahead and get Lee and Lilith on the line. I'm really looking forward to today's interview.
Me too. Before we start today's interview, we need to let you know that we were having so much fun with Lee and Lilith that we decided to double our time with them. So we're breaking this interview into two episodes.
The first part will air today, July 27, 2011, and the second part will air next week, August 3rd, as episode number 9. Please remember to tune in next week for the conclusion. Hi, Lilith.
Good morning.
Hey, hello. I got two people. Do I have one people or two people?
You have two people. This is Dale Hodge from the Square Dance Radio Network.
Hello, Dale Hodge. Someone just told me about your network and said, "Hey, have
Barb
you listened?"
Barb
Jarvis, I know you from
Barb
the old
Jarvis
days.
Is here too.
Oh, this is so exciting, like very grown up that I used to do four peoples.
Right now we're looking for Lee. Is he around?
Yeah, well, I know you don't want me.
No,
that's
no,
not true.
We certainly want you.
Here I am, Bob.
Hi there, Lee.
How you doing? You danced very well the other day. I was proud of you.
Thank you. I had a good time.
Yeah, that's good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Columbia, Maryland, just south of Baltimore.
Okay, and I'm in Illinois.
I knew that.
You didn't think I flew out to visit an interview?
Now, wait a second. How is the library functioning without you?
I'm not there yet. Don't tell them.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Okay, first of all, thank you both very much for agreeing to the interview. Barb and I have been talking just a little bit about some stories that that we have from our past about each of you. Now, we interviewed Pam and Barry Clasper last week, and Barry jokingly said he had a little trouble getting a word in edgewise. So far, Lee, will you be able to say anything on today's interview?
Yeah, it looks like I'm not part of the action here.
We'll change that.
So let's start. Lee, where are you originally from?
Well, I was born in Philadelphia, and we moved to the Bronx soon after my father had some problems. He was a pharmacist, and he owned his own drugstore, and he was robbed, and he was taken for a ride by those that robbed him, dumped somewhere about 2 or 3 miles away from the drugstore. And after that experience, he said he had enough, and he moved to Philadelphia, and he got a job with a pharmaceutical company, E.R. Scripps and Son. He moved to New York, and he got a job with E.R. Scripps and Son Pharmaceutical Company, and he became a salesman, and eventually he worked himself up to be a divisional manager.
Wow.
And then we lived in New York for a while, and that's where we lived for, you know, most of our lives. For her life.
And how and when did you meet Lilith?
Well, I met her at Adelphi University. She was at Ithaca, College for a while, and then after a couple of years, she changed and she became a student over at Adelphi, and that's where we met. Adelphi University on Long Island.
And how we met. I saw him.
I guess she's taking over now.
We were in the phys ed building. You had to take phys ed courses, and I saw this cute guy running up the steps in white shorts with a white shirt and a squash racket. I said to myself, oh, my God, is he cute. She said, do you want him? You could have him because my boyfriend and he are friends. If you want him, he's yours.
Wow.
How do you like that?
That's awesome.
So have you been thanking her or cursing her for the last however many years?
Thanking. But I have to tell you, his friend, I used to hide behind bushes and pop out when he was walking past and say, oh, fancy meeting you here. And his friend finally said to me, listen, you got to play a little hard to get if you want to catch him. So I gave up, and I was in a show, and I had another date come backstage, because those were the days when I was the performer. See? And he came backstage, left his date in the audience, and I knew that was it.
Very good.
Lee, would you like to share your side of the how did you meet story?
Well, I don't know. I was just president of a science at the university 3 out of 4 years, so she couldn't resist me either.
Well said. Can you tell us a bit about your family? I understand you've got a couple of kids. Well, actually, I know you've got a couple of kids, but can you tell us about them?
Oh, we have Stephen, and we have Phyllis, and we have a daughter in Texas who is presently visiting us right now. She was one of the producers of the Today Show, by the way, up here in New York. Phyllis was, in Texas, right?
She was working in Connecticut.
Yeah, she was working in Connecticut.
As an assignment editor.
Yeah, and then eventually she became one of the producers of the Today Show.
But wow. You met her husband.
Yeah, I met her husband before she did, because I was calling in Texas. And they had decided to do a story on square dancing in Texas. So I met her husband. He was a cameraman. And they were doing a story on square dancing, and he was a cameraman. So I met her husband before she did. And then she was assigned to do a story for, she was working for NBC. And then she came out to cover a story in Texas. So, and then he happened to be the cameraman for that particular story. And eventually, they met and they talked and they eventually got married.
3 months later. That's not so eventual.
So it sounds like you had a part in their meeting, perhaps. Is that right, Lee?
I had nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay. You just knew him before.
Yeah, I just knew him. Well, I really didn't know him. You know, he just was the cameraman for a story that NBC was doing on Square Dancing, and he was the cameraman.
I see.
So I really didn't know him. He was just the cameraman, but same cameraman was doing a story that she was covering, had nothing to do with Square Dancing. But he was a cameraman on a story that she was covering when she was doing a story for NBC when she came out to do that.
All right. Now, I know you've both been teaching a lot in your lives, in your careers, whatever. Current jobs, Lilith, are you still doing any teaching?
No, but I do go with Lee when he goes to Adelphi and to Nassau, and he says to them, listen to this. I'm 77 years old.
Well, I don't tell the younger girls that I'm 77 years old.
I'm 77. And he says to the young girls, the whole class at Adelphi and Nassau, he says, listen, my wife is coming. She is so cute. Wait till you see her.
Wait a second. When she walks into the class and she sees the girls there, the first thing she tells me is that I'm 77. I don't say that at all.
But I do. Wait, but he says I'm cute. So how cute could you be when they're 17 and I'm 77?
Well, the thing is, I teach at two universities. I teach at Adelphi University and I teach at Nassau Community College. One is a four-year school and one is a two-year school. At the four-year school, it's a two-credit course, and at the two-year school, Nassau Community College, it's a six-week course. It's a half a credit course. That's a half a credit course, and it's in a semester. There are 2 6-week courses, and at the full semester for the at the 2 credit course, it's a pass or fail course. And this is interesting. At the 6-week course, you mark them either based on numerical. You know, whatever you want to give them, 60, you mark them based on numerical, or you mark them based on A, B, C, D, which is really ridiculous. And it's amazing that over at Adelphi, it's a pass or fail, and it's a full semester at the 6-week course. You mark them, either you want to mark them on either 70 or 80 or 90, where you mark them based on A, B, C, D, which is really crazy, but
yeah, it
doesn't make sense.
How many students do you have in each of those classes on average?
At the 6-week class, we have, about 30 kids. At Adelphi, which is the full semester, we had 3 squares, which is really terrific.
Mostly girls.
Huh. Yeah.
He never failed anybody. Did he tell you that?
Yeah. No. But I have to tell you, at Adelphi, at the full semester, we have a square of challenge dancers come in and we put on a demonstration.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that class meets at 12:00, so it's easy for me to get the challenge guys to come in, guys and gals. But at the other class, they meet at 8:30 in the morning, so the challenge dancers are not interested in coming in later.
Right.
So we've moved into square dancing. Can you go back to how you first got involved in square dancing? Let's start with Lee.
Let me see. I started crawling in 1957, and how that happened was part of the phys ed curriculum is to teach rhythm and dance as beside teaching all the athletics. You know, volleyball and softball and basketball and whatever. Part of the curriculum is to teach rhythm and dance, and also was part of square dancing. Well, there was a fourth grade teacher that was putting on an assembly program, and she asked me if I would call a square dance for the kids. And of course, their parents were coming, and she thought that would be a good idea, and I agreed to do that. Well, when the parents saw that, a woman came up to me after the show, and she said her church needed a caller. Do you do this? And I said, of course I do. Which oh, and I was a nervous wreck. And I asked my principal if I could borrow the equipment to go out and call his fans. And she agreed to let me do that. Well, I went out and I took an extra pair of underpants in the glove compartment. And don't stop the comforts because I thought for sure I would my pants. Are we on the radio now? So at that point, it was mostly Eastern dancing, you know, swing the partner, Red River Valley, stuff for the oysters and that, because that's the only kind of dancing I knew. And I was very comfortable with it. It was really good. I really liked it. And when I went out there, of course, there was somebody else there whose church needed a caller. And before you know it, I was calling all over Long Island, the Eastern type dancing. Well, there was also a Long Island Callers Association, and I joined that. And at that time, there was this new kind of dancing, which is the kind of dancing we do right now. That's just started to come out. And I saw some callers doing square through and slide through. And I was interested in it. And there was a group on Long Island that was dancing to records that had this new kind of dancing with an alamandar and a slide through. And they were dancing in the basement. And I went down there, and I watched them do this. And I was really interested in that. And I started to go down and watch them. And there was also a caller on Long Island by the name of Paul Hunt. And he started to call this, and I started to go and watch them do this. And I really liked what I saw. And I used to do some recreation activity, you know, work at a school at night. And I worked there until like 9 o'clock at night, and then I would run over to his dance, drive over to his dance, and watch him call to a group of what we would call at that time it was called Hot Hash. And he would call this, and I would run over there and watch him do it, and I really was interested in it, and I liked it very much.
I want to ask Lilith, were you involved in square dancing at all before you met Lee, and how where exactly is the time frame of when you started calling and when Lilith was pursuing you heavily?
This is the thing. Do you think I square danced before? I did not. I did the cha-cha. I did the Lindy. That's what I did. Who knew about square dancing? And when I met Lee, he was teaching the cha-cha for the Guy Barry Studios. And suddenly, he fell in love with this square dancing. And he took me with him. And I'll tell you, his first job, the women were flirting with him like mad. So I was busy showing everybody my wedding ring. So they'd know he wasn't attached to anybody. I figured, listen, I better go. Whatever it is, he's an entertainer. I better be there and not fade into the woodwork. It's the truth. But as I say, so I didn't know square dancing. In fact, the first dance that we went to, we didn't know one thing. But my father was in the piece goods fabric business, and I used to get fabric free, and I had a dressmaker. I made this gorgeous outfit off the shoulder with a velvet belt and a huge new petticoat. We go to a Ron Schneider dance, and Ronnie Schneider called the teacup chain. We didn't know that from a cup of coffee. But everybody was really nice to us because we were the young'uns. You know, everybody was much older than we were. And we were the young'uns there, so they were all very solicitous.
And we looked terrific.
Right, we looked good, but
we didn't know a square through from whatever.
Nothing. We knew nothing.
But they embraced us.
Yes, everybody was very nice to us.
Even the new kids on the block.
Right, and I guess they saw some young blood and they wanted to encourage it. And I don't know if Lee was even calling them. I only know.
We were doing a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And this Paul Hunt was the advanced caller on Long Island. And we were doing a little bit, you know. And the only kind of calling I could do was what I read in sets in order. you know, the Square Dance magazine. I would pick out these things and put them in a little notebook, and I went out and I called, and I had no idea what I was calling. I didn't understand anything. God forbid anybody would ask me what I wanted to do. I couldn't explain anything to them. And but I had a little group that would come to my dances, you know, one or two squares, and I would call from the book. I would read it to them. There was a caller on Long Island by the name of Dick Jones. I don't, do you remember him?
I don't know.
Oh, well, he was just terrific. I mean, he sang beautifully, and he had large crowds that came. You know, at that time, he would have, you know, 25, 30 squares come. I would go to his dances, too. He was just outstanding, and he was called all over the place. He would travel and everything, and he recorded. He was just wonderful. But, you know, I tried my hand at it, and one or two squares would come to my groups, and I would just call, and I would do singing calls, too. I didn't have a bad singing voice. It was okay. And, you know, I would do the flip side of records, you know, and whatever was on the other side, I would call it the exact same thing. I could not interpret. I could not cite call, you know. And as I said, I read what was ever in the magazines. I would pick out the figures, and that's what I would call, not understanding anything at all. And I just did my best. But then finally, I figured I would have to go to a caller school to find out how to do these things. And I went to an Earl Johnson and Al Brundage caller school to find out how to side call. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to understand choreography. So I went to this caller school hoping I would find out how to side call. That's what I wanted to do. I went to this caller school. I came back, and I still didn't know how to side call. So and I had these checkers that I would work with. I made checkers. And I came back, and I would work with these checkers, try to write these things. And then all of a sudden, it came to me. And I figured out that I could really do this. I called a friend of mine on Long Island who was a caller. And I called him up. I said, I know how to do this. I know how to cycle. So he came over. He said, how do you do it? I said, I know how to do it, but I can't tell you how to do it. I just know how to do it. Because learning how to cycle is like learning a foreign language. You know, when you first learn a foreign language, you learn the language, but you have to learn how to, you transfer it in English. And until you can learn the language and think in the language, you really don't know the language itself, because you think in the language and then you transfer it in English. But when you can think in the language itself, then you know the language. You follow me?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with sight calling. When you can just sight call and not have to break it down and say, now what the hell does this mean? But when you can think in the language of sight calling, then you know how to sight call. And then I finally learned how to do it. And, you know, all your challenge callers or all your non-challenge callers that sight call and feel real comfortable with it. You know, there are not a lot of callers in the country that can really, you know, just throw it out and look at the dancers and feel comfortable with it and have it flow. And that, you know, your professional callers, there are not a lot of men that are really pros at that. And when you can see a man on stage and watch him, you know, look at the floor and have it come out and smooth with it. When you're looking at a guy doing it, then you know you got a professional caller on stage.
But wait a second. Before he did the sight calling, we went the route of every single caller in the world. Okay? We worked for a day camp. It was a magnificent place. Lee was Phys Ed and I was Ra Ra. I used to lead the songs, and he was the Phys Ed. He ran the day camp, okay? And to go with this day camp was a house that we were able to live in. And there was a huge foyer. So we invited a square to come, and guess what he did? What every caller does. Singing calls. One after the other after the other. And, you know, we thought, this is wonderful for them. They're having a wonderful time. We didn't realize that that's not something that they really would love, but that's what we did. And that sort of gave them a feel with the microphone and what have you.
You know, I had two or three records that were singing calls that were record of the month. Did you ever know that?
I did not know that.
Would you believe that? Some of these days, what else, Lil?
Garden Party.
Garden Party, yeah. They were.
And our song.
Well, whatever the case, would you believe? Barb, did you know that?
You know, Lee, I just did a little reading about you, and I found that one of my favorite scene calls of all time, The More I See You, is one on that you've done.
Yeah. And our daughter's the one that recommended that we do that.
Yeah, they were records of the month. Would you believe that?
Right.
I don't think any of the challenge masters know that. But I had three records that were records of the month and singing queen.
Wait a minute. Young at Heart.
Young at Heart was...
Because that was our song, you know. That's what you did in the 1950s. You had a song together.
I don't even think Bill Hyman knows that.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to make sure he knows that. And I was wondering, Lilith, if you ever grabbed the microphone and did either a duet with Lee or if you did some of your own calling.
Listen, we're going to be married. We're married 56 years. I knew to keep my place. And smile and dance. But
really,
I knew not to try to compete.
The only one in the family that shared the mic was Steve. And he is really stupendous.
Oh, yeah. You know, Steve. But Steve is calling since birth. He came out of the womb.
Initially, when we started, we did all the calling down here in the basement. And when Steve was 5 or 6 years old, if we needed another person, he would fill in downstairs. I mean,
no
he's
kidding.
Dancing since he was. Oh yeah.
We woke him up to come down. We needed another person.
I don't know if you've heard him recently or if you've ever heard him, but he is a stupendous caller now. You have no idea how good he is.
Yeah, I've heard the two of you together doing things like, let's just say choreographically playing with one another. And, he is fantastic.
But I want to tell you, when Lou talked about learning another language, and so you have to think in that language,
mm-hmm.
I swear to you, at dinner, all his life, Lee would say, okay, I got the heads. Square through three hands. Give me three moves to get into an Alaman left. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's what happened his whole life.
Wow.
So that he always thought in terms of squareness. And you know what? I'll never forget. He also went to college school. And once he came home and he said, Dad, do you know what I just found out? Really, the deucey is a zero. Zeros, you know? So he didn't even know from zeros.
Yeah.
Dad, realize
that Josie
is a zero.
He is so good. Yeah, no, and he's so comfortable on the mic. He looks good. He sings good, and he's such a fluid sight caller. I got to tell you, I'm so proud of him. He's just outstanding.
Well, he is on our list of people that we will attempt to interview here on the Square Dance Radio Network. So we'll forward him an email, let him know to listen to his very proud parents talking him up. That's great. Now, your daughter, Phyllis, does she dance, and has she ever called?
No.
She never called, but I have to tell you, there is not, how can I explain this? They could not dance in this house. I mean, it was like, could you breathe? Yes. That's it. And we used to take them with us, and, you know, sometimes it was tedious. So we would have hills. We would say, roll down the hill, roll down the hill. We were going in a place that had hills. But they grew up with it. That was, and at Phyllis's, and Stephen had a square dance wedding, in addition to a normal wedding.
Yeah.
And Phyllis had a wedding, and she had the most exciting wedding because she married a Texan. So at her wedding, they had normal music because she was a producer at the time.
Country Western.
She had Texas dancing, Jewish dancing, and square dancing. That was her wedding. It was the most fun wedding in the whole world.
That might be the only wedding ever with that combination.
So, Lee, you come across on the microphone with such a smooth delivery. Did that come really naturally to you, or did you have to work at that and develop it?
No, I never had to work at it. It just was a natural thing for me. You know, I always have felt, except at the very beginning when I was reading and I didn't understand what was going on, but it was just it was a normal thing for me. I always felt comfortable on the mic.
You know, Lee was a great dancer. I'm talking about social dancing. I told you when I married him, he was teaching the cha-cha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did on Sundays, practice cha-cha routine. So he always had rhythm. That's something that just came natural, as it did with Stephen. I don't think everybody has rhythm.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think that I had was a good asset for me was, you know, I was a school teacher. And I always was able to teach the figures well. I was always comfortable on stage with teaching. And that's one of the good assets that I had. You know, I one of the things, I wrote so many figures that I understood the figures, and I was able to teach the figures very well when I was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I had these workshops at these big conventions, I was always able to get these things across very well to the dancers. So that was a good thing for me.
Excellent segue, Lee. You are a prolific author of square dance calls. I think, is it over 300, 350 calls that you've authored?
I had about another 100, and we'll be in pretty good shape.
Wow.
I don't think you could call a dance without a figure I wrote. That would be that would be almost impossible.
So basically, Burleson's should be called Cotman's Encyclopedia.
I had a Cotman Encyclopedia glossary growing up.
How did that come about, that you started down the path of authoring a number of calls, and then I guess the global acceptance of the calls that you were authoring? There were a number of other people also writing calls, but yours were really the ones that became accepted. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I was always sitting down and moving checkers around. And, you know, I'm kind of an impatient guy, you know. There were calls that were in existence before, you know, I started to choreograph. And there wasn't a day where I didn't have my checkers down on the table, moving them around. And I said, well, you know, if you're using a call, why not add this to it, you know? And I don't know why I had the skills. I just had no idea.
You know, he didn't know. Ed Foote used to come to his dances from Pittsburgh,
uh-huh.
Okay? And we didn't realize that he was taping them and sending these tapes all over the country and out of the country. We didn't even know it. And so he became known. And when he would teach a call at a dance, and Ed Foote had sent it, so people began dancing it. And it was really because the tapes was sent everywhere when we didn't even know it.
That has nothing to do. What he asked me was, that has nothing to do with, I don't know why, you know, there are certain people that have certain skills along certain lines. But why I have the ability to, you know, create, you know, certain calls, you know, I really don't know. It came to me. I've been able to, you know, find certain ways or create a call one way or another. Do you have any idea what you think is probably my best call, and what call do you think is the most important call that I wrote?
I would guess it is roll.
Yeah, somebody told you that.
No, I have a list of calls plus through A2, and just glancing at it, when you started asking that, I looked at it, and I use roll and teach roll. That is probably one of the most important ones.
Do you know what call it came from?
No.
It came from a right and left through. It was a right and left roll.
Ah.
Hmm.
The roll came from the call right and left roll, and then we just isolated that. And that's where it came from. It was right and left roll. And then the roll from it, we added that to just about almost, there's so many calls you can just add that onto. But I think roll is probably one of the most significant calls that I when I asked Bill Hyman, I said, Bill, What do you think is the most significant call I wrote? And he said, a chain reaction. I said, are you kidding?
It was one of the more complicated ones.
Yeah, I think roll probably. Chain reaction, I think, is one of the most beautiful calls that came off the list that I wrote. Yeah, I like that too. But I think roll is probably the most significant call.
So did he, right? You thought so too.
Yeah, he thought
so. Yeah. Now, one of the things, in my experience, is one of the most difficult things to do is to come up with names.
Oh, well, the names. All right. I had a call, Rotary Spin. I had no name for it. I was driving to school, and I saw a helicopter. That's how we decided on Rotary Spin.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it fits. It's good.
Yeah. I did not have the, I was calling at a festival in Philadelphia, and I went into a store, to one of these stores, to buy some chewing gum, and there was a little game there, and the game was called Chain Reaction. I said, what a great name for a call. I went upstairs to my room and I wrote the call Chain Reaction.
Wow.
So sometimes the name came before the call, and most of the time the call came and then the name came.
We used to talk about it at the dinner table.
Yeah, and a lot of these names came at our dinner table. I had this call Press, and the name Press, and Stephen said, what are you kidding, Press? What the hell is going to name a call Press? We had the call Truck. Stephen said, what are you, crazy, Truck? Who is that called Truck? Because of how it sounds. Nobody's going to call Truck or Press. You know how many times at the higher level Press and Truck is used? I mean, you can hardly call a sequence without Press on how important it is. But Rotary Spin and Chain Reaction, you know, and Pass and Roll, I mean, those, I'm looking at a list right now here. I'm looking at the C2. Bounce is a terrific call. I mean, I don't know if you know those calls. I mean, these are
Bob knows them, like a name.
I dance and call through 3B.
So you know them too, of course.
I mean, interaction, flip back, recycle. You know, let me tell you about recycle. I don't know if you know about that. Recycle at first was an all eight recycle. You know, and how did I get recycle? I'll tell you the name on that one. I saw a garbage truck. I had the call, but I didn't know what to call it. And I passed the garbage truck, and they said, recycle garbage. That's how I saw it.
Oh, my God.
And that's how I picked that name. They said, recycle garbage. So I figured, you know, we got to recycle.
That's a good name.
I picked the name. Yeah, recycle garbage.
I actually had to research that. Somebody asked me, why are there two recycles? And I had to research that it, find out that it came from All Eight Recycle. Were you involved in splitting that up into two, or did you do the All Eight Recycle and other people took it and said, we've actually got two actions?
I was not involved in that. The recycle was done from the quarter tie position. And where you take it from the centers, you bring them out, and you bring the outside in.
But in order to teach it, you had to divide them in two. He was at the Washington Festival the first time he taught it, and he had to teach each part separately, not knowing that that was what was going to stick. Parts. And then
the reason that I call it all eight recycle was, you know, you take the center four, you know, and you bring them out and you bring the outside in. And the reason I named it all eight recycle, when you think about, you know, the garbage thing, about, you know, that's how I got the name. And I thought that recycling garbage, you know, I just thought it was a perfect name for that call. Taking out, you know, I thought recycle was a perfect name for that call.
It is.
There are a number of people around the country who respond trash when they hear
no.
recycle. The call response
really?
Is trash.
I've heard that.
Yeah, the split recycle had nothing to do with that.
So I have to ask this one. Lee, I heard a rumor that you wrote the call ASO for a trip to Japan. Is that true?
Yeah, I wrote ASO for a trip to Japan, and we had one problem when we got there, though. They did not know whether or not I was saying the call ASO or I was just having a conversation with them ASO. And that was the problem when we got there until I told him I really want you to do the call also.
Okay.
Having a conversation with him about it.
He also wrote Cheerio when we went to England.
Yeah,
ah.
Cheerio.
And Cruising when we were on a ship.
Yeah.
No kidding.
The inspiration for...
And we try to do that.
Now, I know from a long time ago, I know you used to not be able to call also by itself because the whole floor would just respond. Did you also write Wahoo?
No, I didn't do that. Wahoo is not mine.
Okay. There's one call I had assumed for the longest time was yours, the call Cross the K.
No, I didn't do Cross the K.
Yeah, I see Bill White did that, but I think that there is a number of people think that Cross the K came from Cross the Cotman.
You know Holman Hutchfeth at all? Have you ever heard of him?
No.
No. Well, he's a caller from Michigan. I don't know if he's a caller or a dancer. But before I came along, he wrote things like Spin the Top and Square Through. And
I've heard of those.
Yeah, like I kind of took over. But he was the most significant innovator of calls before
you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But .com is yours. I remember learning that one.
Yeah. I don't even remember how to do that, you know. There are so many calls on that list, you know, that I think you have the book, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you get the book, The Square Dance Man? Well,
yeah.
You can see a lot of the calls there,
yeah.
In the back. But yeah, I don't remember how to do those calls, you know. There were so many calls in there that I just don't remember how to do. But if you look at the book, you can see in the back the calls that are on the list, you know, on the plus list and the advanced list, those that were accepted, those are really important.
So that brings up a good point. You have many that you've written that we use all the time, but you've written many, many more that have not been used.
That's right, yeah. On the mainstream list, we have two calls, Scoot Back and Recycle. The plus list, we have five, Linear Cycle, Coordinate, Anything and Roll, Cut the Diamond, Chase Right. I'm looking at them right now. On the advanced list, though, we got quite a few. The plus, the
Bobel.
Yeah. Do you see those?
Bobel, Cast a Shadow, Chain Reaction,
and
Lock It, and Mix.
Cast a Shadow is a beautiful call. Yeah, that's a beauty. Shakedown is great. I'm looking at the list right now. Do you have the book, by the way?
Yes.
I do not, Barb.
You have to show it to him. Yeah.
Yes, I will. The amazing thing to me was at the ACE convention when they had lists of all the calls that were written
that.
By you highlighted. The C3 list was almost entirely blocked out, highlighted in Lee Kottman's color because so many of the calls were yours. It was amazing.
I don't know how I was able to do that. You know, the calls, I was just able to just create these things. And I was just lucky to be able to have the skill to just do that. It was a surprise to me.
That was great.
I was just lucky to have, you know, just the imagination to do those things. Believe me, it was a surprise to me. But I just, you know, there wasn't a day that I didn't sit down with those checkers and write. I write every morning here. I write every morning. I'm at the computer.
Wow.
There isn't a morning that I don't sit down and write calls. You know, I'm not a concept caller. I'm a step caller. And when I listen to Vic Cedar and Lynette Cole, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't either.
Well, I don't believe that. I have no idea. It's a whole new ballgame.
I remember dancing to you in Dallas, and I think Hodson was calling, and you were standing in the back, and he called something, adding a concept to a call that you had written, and you stood there and watched for a while and then said, well, it's very creative. I've never thought to use that like that before.
Yeah. I was sorry when Dave left. Dave was just terrific. But you want to know something? He got out probably at the best time, because at the time he got out, things started to change. Mm-hmm. It's a new ballgame.
Yeah.
I mean, Lynette changed it and Vic Cedar changed it. I mean, those guys are really terrific.
Yeah.
But it's a new ballgame. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen down, you know. I don't think they can be touched.
You were honored at the most recent ACE convention. And can you tell us a little bit about that honor?
I thought that more callers would get up and say something about it.
I don't think they could. I think Lynette was nigh unto speechless. You know, she said some nice things, but she almost broke down, and she almost broke me down.
Yeah. So, I was there for 40 some odd years. We started the whole thing. I don't know if you know how this thing Do you know how this whole thing started?
Out of Butler, Pennsylvania? Is that related?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It started where. We were part of we weren't part of, but a few of us got together, Deuce Williams and a couple of other guys got together at the National Square Dancing Convention
mm-hmm.
when advanced dancing just started. And we would meet at 11 o'clock at night when the National Square Dance Convention was over. And four or five guys would get together. I think it's in the book. Four or five guys would get together. And at 11 o'clock, some of the dancers that dance advanced dancing would get together, and we would dance from 11 o'clock until about 2 or 3 in the morning. And we'd just get together, and maybe four or five squares would dance. And then after that, Ed Foote took control, and then we started to dance, you know, challenge dances with about 25 squares. And there was only one level. That was it. There was only one level.
As we said at the beginning of the interview, we were having so much fun with Lee and Lilith that we doubled the length of the interview and split it into two episodes. You just heard the first part, and the second part will air next week, August 3rd, as episode number 9.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled show, Already in Progress. So, Barb, what do you have coming up this weekend?
I have a very easy weekend coming up. No square dancing. I can't believe it. Just a couple of little family things and some rest and relaxation. How about you, Dale?
I have just the opposite, a full square dance weekend with a number of callers. John Marshall runs Dream Fest in York, Pennsylvania, and Kathy and I will be going to that with Ann Ubelacher, Sandy Bryant, John Marshall, Todd Felagy, and Ross Howell.
Wow, what a great lineup. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's something that we really look forward to every year.
Well, you enjoy that.
Thanks, and you enjoy your weekend
Be sure to tune in to episode number 9 next week, August 3rd, 2011, when we conclude our interview with Lee and Lilith, and they discuss
Lee's proudest square dance memory, Lee's work ethic, and how he helps callers that follow him at a convention,
Lee and Lilith's love and pride for their family, Lilith's prowess as a matchmaker,
and we hear about a Derek Jeter moment. Please tune in. Thanks again to our guests, Lee and Lilith Kottman. And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing.
Thanks, Dale. And this is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Take care. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you on the dance floor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.